The new year is here, and it's the perfect time to kickstart your meditation practice. The Morning Meditation for Women podcast has short, daily guided meditations that will help you start your day with intention and focus, and make it so easy to get you into the habit. Imagine feeling so much more calm and confident in 2025. Follow and listen to Morning Meditation for Women on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range here. Annie will be back on Monday. As much as I love witty banter, Brad, I have a question for you. This isn't just waste of time, radio.
No witty banter here?
No. There's a real point to this question, okay. But it won't sound like it.
Okay.
What'd you do on New Year's Eve?
I stayed home, played some video games, and then watched Tyrus and Kat countdown in the new year.
Did you make it to...
Oh, yeah.
Like one or?
No.
Not quite?
I think it was about, it's probably 1 o'clock before I fell asleep, 1:30.
We didn't do anything either. My kids, we just decided to stay in. I guess we had a couple of opportunities to go some places, but we also had some friends that were out of town, and it was like, let's just stay in. And we did, and the kids did all, including the seven-year-old, made it to midnight.
Oh, good for them.
But it's one of the rare nights that they're allowed to just kind of like watch stuff. They're like starting at like seven, they can just watch movies. And usually we let them watch a movie or we let them watch three episodes of a show or something. But then that's it. Or you get an hour and a half of video game time. This is like, oh my gosh, we can just stay up as late as we want watching stuff. So they love it. And their tradition now is to watch Ice Age or Ice Age 2, which I think they watched both of this year. But my reason for asking you this question is, You said you watched Tyrus and Kat Timpf. Did they do like a live ball drop New Year's Eve Times Square thing?
Well, I don't know because whenever I turned it on, it was after 11 and Central Time.
Oh, so theirs had dropped.
Theirs had already dropped, so I'm not sure what they did. But
they were still hosting a live show.
Yeah, they had comedians, and I think Kennedy was working the bar that they had on the stage.
Oh, that's cool.
And so, yeah, they were just telling jokes and wrapping up the New Year.
Did you flip around stations at all?
A couple of them.
Were all the stations doing live coverage?
For the most part.
All the news stations?
Well, I didn't check CNN, but I know CNN always does.
They did. And that's what I was going to ask.
Don't they always get hammered, too?
Apparently, like Andy Cohen is usually the guy and Anderson Cooper.
I know Don Lemon got smoked that one year.
Yeah, and he's released some videos recently that he might have been drunk for those. I mean, they've been kind of weird. Not Britney Spears level weird, but just like a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
This, though, is making the rounds because it was on CNN. And it makes you wonder if this was planned. I mean, clearly she planned it.
Yeah.
Did CNN know what they were going to do?
She has been blowing up Twitter afterwards. Here's some other ones that I couldn't squeeze in.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yes.
So
you need to follow her.
I watched this whole thing from Whitney Cummings. Now, that's a name you might know if you follow comedy. Because she's kind of a comedian's comedian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the comedy world where you're watching sketch comedy and SNL and movies and stuff. And then there's the comedy world that's like stand-up comedians.
Yes.
I've never really been into that world
like
as much.
That.
And I know you do. And Annie does. I'm not into stand-up quite as much. It's its own world. I did some kind of stage stuff when I was in college, but I never really loved it. And in fact, I hated improv, which is surprising because... Lo and behold, we do a 3-hour radio show every day. It is all improv. We have some material like stories. I'm holding up a story here. I'm going to get to this story. But we don't know how we're going to do it. We just know that it's there.
Yeah.
So it's basically improv. But I did, you know, a little bit of that stuff in college, and I didn't love the way that improv was run, partially because most of the people doing it were not that good at it. You know, you get to the high levels and they're really good at it. But until you get to that level, most of these people are using kind of the same device. They're going back to the same things over and over. So it's not really improv. You kind of had a plan and you just kind of stuck the...
You're turning the situation to fit the narrative.
There's a formula that you've already used and you're sort of reusing jokes.
Yeah, I did improv in high school.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Like comedy or...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I used to be funny. I'm not so much anymore because I'm around real funny people. But
I just kind of back off.
You're funnier than I am, so.
Well, the reason we're talking about this is because Whitney Cummings, again, she's in that comedy world. So she was invited to be, I don't know if she was a guest host or she was just there, you know, near the ball drop on CNN. But she launches into like a 4 to 5 minute bit.
It was a roast, wasn't it?
I don't know. They didn't stop her. She just starts and she's talking about mostly current events that have happened in 2024. And I think we'll start with the stuff. You know what? We'll just go in order here. We'll start with the first one because she gets more into the conspiracy stuff later as we go. And it gets funnier. So here's the first one.
I do believe we need to hold 2024 accountable for its behavior. That is what white women do now. We point out other things that are toxic because we don't get irony. And that is our truth. This was the year that people were behaving so poorly, we started being wistful about murderers. Remember, this was the year we were like, were the Menendez brothers so bad? Were we too hard on the Menendez brothers? This was the year we could not get enough of murderers. Gypsy Rose became our favorite celebrity because murdering your mom is so brat. They had her on a red carpet, a little on the nose for a murderer, but she was like posing in a fancy dress. We were like, slay, and she was like, I did. And of course, our heartthrob of the year was the alleged cold-blooded killer named Luigi, who is now in the same prison as Diddy, which I'm very upset about because Luigi already has a lower back issue. This was the year nothing made sense. Fertility was down. Sales of baby oil was up. White supremacy groups reached record highs. It got so bad, Ariana Grande became white again.
Okay, so she's just going.
Yes.
I mean, it's clearly prepared material. Some of it's good, some of it's okay. And she's standing there, for context, with Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper, who look like they're going, when am I supposed to jump in?
Yeah.
Because she just keeps going. Well, that was 1 minute.
Well, she hit that first joke about Luigi Mangione, about his back problems. Cooper covered his face.
Oh, yeah.
And trying not to laugh.
But they're...
as this bit was going on, it was funny to watch him because he kept getting more and more off frame.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to be associated with this. You know this is going to viral. You know that radio stations are going to play this the next day, which we are. So that was the first one. Again, some of those jokes are just okay. When you're watching it, though, it is different to watch it because they look so uncomfortable that you're like, oh, this is kind of funny. But here's the next one.
2024 totally broke our brains. Half the people I know think we're in a simulation. I'm starting to wonder. When I go to a website and it asks me if I'm a robot or not, half the time I get the quiz wrong.
Okay,
I'm
that's
like, does
funny.
The shadow of a bike count as a bike? I don't know. Why am I looking at a grainy photo of a crack house? We just all broke mentally this year. Things got so bleak. We started watching the WNBA. Was that what happened? And we also started watching older women in movies. Equality or insanity? You tell me. Demi Moore was in a movie called The Substance, showing that Hollywood's ready for a woman in her 50s to star in a movie as long as a hot 28-year-old wears a leotard for most of it. Pam Anderson's getting Oscar buzz for a movie she did wearing no makeup. Guys, it's not progress if you call it brave. Documentaries finally realized the only way to make money is to just make them about cheerleaders. The Dallas Cowboys cheerleader doc showed the girls being treated horribly, underpaid, crying. I thought I'd open a video on Hunter Biden's laptop.
She just keeps going. And they're just going, what are we supposed to do? Because she's not letting up.
No.
Once in a while, you probably broke these segments when she would turn to them and go, oh, am I still going?
No.
Okay, next one.
This is the year everyone hated the movie The Joker, but if you do love watching men descend into insanity, in a couple hours you get to watch Andy Cohen do the countdown. In 2024, some things left us, some came back. Sanity left us. Somehow crypto is back. Do you guys even know what crypto... No one thought the timing of crypto was fishy. Right. As soon as women started making money, they were like, money's over. Money's over. I'm like, I don't even know what crypto is. As far as I understand, it's just astrology for men. Like, I don't...
That's funny. Did you see Joker, the second Joker?
No. I found out it was a musical. I'm like, nope, I'm out.
I tried. So I didn't even know that it existed because apparently the way that Joker 2 went down, Joker 1 I thought was amazing. Mm-hmm. I know you didn't really care for it that much. But
it is all right.
I thought Joker 1 was amazing with Joaquin Phoenix. Then he comes out with the second one with Lady Gaga. And there was a lot of anticipation because the first one was pretty well liked.
Yeah.
I think it was up for Best Picture and stuff. Like, it was like really, yes, really well done. And then this one came out, and I think they swept it under the rug. Because I was watching for it and didn't even know that it had come out.
I have a great conspiracy theory about this.
Oh, please.
So the thing about Joker 1 that everybody liked was it was a one man who cracked, who was rebelling back against the system. And a bunch of people loved it. And so the system then looked at this and said, well, we can't release another one of those and get everybody.
Oh, that is a conspiracy theory.
What if we release this horrible version? We'll make it a musical. What is the least thing that beat down men that loved this movie wanted to see? What is the last thing they'd want to see? Well, how about a musical with Lady Gaga and we turn Joker into a wuss?
No, I think you're wrong. I like the theory, but I think it was because Joaquin Phoenix is nuts. And he
well, that might be true.
I think he looked at the script and went, oh, what if we did? And look, this makes sense. Let's do a Joker movie that's just bizarre. Well, that fits the character. So let's do it and let's make it a musical. I tried watching it. There's nothing technically wrong with the movie. It's just boring.
Yes.
You're like, there's nothing happening.
Let's make this movie terrible.
It's just in prison and he's on trial for what he did at the end of the first Joker. And they sing songs. And you're like, I don't care about the songs, but give me some plot.
It's not.
Do something.
It's, like, the thing about the first Joker movie was you weren't really sure what was real and what was,
fantasy.
This one is not like that. It's just, they didn't go insane enough for the insanity
75%
thing.
Of the way through, I'm going, I'm still waiting for a hook. Like, give me the reason to be watching this movie. But I've saved these last two from Whitney Cummings because this is where she really starts to push them. So here's the second to last one.
2024 election fried our brains. The Democrats couldn't hold a primary because they were too busy holding a body upright. Are we still rolling? Am I off?
Go for it.
It was amazing that the pro-choice party didn't give their voters one when it came to the presidential candidate. Kamala was forced on us so hard you'd think she was patented by Pfizer. Or Moderna, whichever one's... Oh, God. Andy just gave me a very scary look.
No!
Let me be clear, though. 2024 was not only negative. The media wants us to believe this country is so divided, but we actually came together a lot this year. Like, as a nation, we unanimously agreed that we would rather see J-Lo in a toxic relationship than in concert. We all agreed the government totally knows what drones are and aren't telling us. The drones are still up there, and we have no idea what's behind them. No idea? I mean, they're still up in the sky, so I guess we can rule out that they were made by Boeing.
Apparently she went to the internet before this and just said, give me all the best conspiracy theories. And not for that one, but for this next one, she wrote jokes about them.
And since I only have a minute left live on establishment media, why don't we just say a bunch of things that we know that they'll never cover? Okay, ready, go. Trump shooter didn't have any silverware in his house. No one thought that was weird. Are we still rolling? Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia put money into Disney, so just know there won't be any girl characters in the next Cars movie. Are we still rolling? This is wild. Why have so many presidents' chefs died? Weird.
Obama.
Boy Scout of America, they renamed itself Scouting America. You know who else changed their name? Sean Combs. Just saying. Let's learn something in 2025. I can't believe you guys are still letting me go. This is amazing. I love CNN. Please stop me, Andy, because I will just keep going.
Happy New Year, Whitney.
Oh, there they are.
Am I still streaming?
Yeah.
They're going to stop her. Hey, is CNN changing really, though?
No.
I think she snuck that in. Yeah, I don't think this is any sort of broader...
Yeah, they're looking for... How do we do this to make it look like we're not going, no, stop!
I they clearly did not know how long she was going to go.
No.
Because she just starts and she almost does not take a breath for the first 3 minutes.
Yeah, and it almost sounded like when you watched, we broke it up, but if you let it go, it almost sounds like she didn't know how long she had to go.
Yeah,
so
like
she would go.
Oh, they're going to stop me at some point, so I just better keep going.
So every one of those breaks that I put in there was kind of a spot where she's like,
turn, see, no? Okay.
No? Okay, keep going.
Yeah, it was great. It was fun to watch. That's the stuff that you traditionally, we've always said on this show, especially Annie, this is the stuff comedians are supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You get on there, you push the buttons a little bit, you see what happens. Man, I'm watching a bunch of Norm MacDonald stuff. I didn't realize how often he did that.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got a reputation for being Norm MacDonald.
Him on...
But, man.
Him on The View.
That's legendary.
Calm the Clinton's murderer.
I mean...
I thought everybody knew that.
But he wouldn't just do it to politics. That's the thing. Like, you could tell he was genuinely just, you know, lighting a lighter under somebody's butt and just seeing what happens. You know, I was going to see. And he would do it to other stars. You know, he'd be on Conan and be in the second chair. Yeah. And the main star would be being interviewed, and he'd just chime in with something. You're like, you're not supposed to say that. That person's career is on the line. You can't do that. But he would just do it just to see, you know? It was really funny stuff. I mean, he made some really inappropriate comments toward the end about inappropriate in the Norm way. So you wouldn't watch it, and you wouldn't go, oh, I'm offended. But you do go, ooh, man, really? About 9/11? Mm-hmm. Like, jokes that you're like, dude, you're touching some subjects. And it was just because... He loved doing stuff to make people a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, if you told
comedians do
if
that,
you told Norm you're not allowed to cross that line. His desire was to then
he'd be
oh,
like, "Oh, what line? Can you show
this,
it to
this
me?
Line?
Yeah, that
am I,
line.
Am I across?
Oh, yeah." Anyway, good on Whitney Cummings. She's never really been one of my favorite comedians, but I don't think that she's bad. I just like to hear somebody just going out and saying, let's see what I can get away with.
Yeah.
It's fun. All right, we're going to take a short break, and we got Annie, Are You Okay? Because it's a Thursday. Coming up next, Trisha's coming in. Stick around. Okay, who in this room among Brad, Trisha, and myself is the most worried about the snow on Sunday? It's got to be you, right, Trisha?
Me?
Yeah.
No.
No, it's not, Trisha. It's you?
No.
You're not worried at all because you love driving in things that are dangerous.
Yes, it's fun.
I'm not worried
about
it.
You have to do all the scheduling for if we can't make it in on Monday.
I don't love the idea of having to coordinate everybody else's schedule for it. Yeah, you're right. I am worried about that part of it. I'm not worried about the weather.
No, not the everything associated. No.
Booking all you goofballs, hotel rooms, and getting the texts at all hours of the day.
And I will only stay at the Adams Mark.
Obviously. Yep, obviously. But Brad will only stay at the Hyatt.
And I only eat scallops.
Ethan will only stay at, where's your hotel?
Mine is struggling to come
Super
up with.
Super 8.
That's why I threw you under the bus.
Super 7.
Well, I like to stay. Actually, you know, I like to
Four
stay
seasons.
At the one at the Ballpark Village apartment once. You have to
I
put me up
it
in
all
an apartment.
Straight.
Can you book me in Galena?
Sure. Yeah, let's do that.
Because I haven't skied yet this season.
What is that?
It's in Northern Illinois.
Okay. Got it.
I haven't actually ever been there. I would just like to visit.
It took me a minute to think, is Galena a real place? Yes, it is.
It is. Yeah.
I'm just going to go
it's
with it.
It's not close.
Yes, and.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I mean, we're dealing with snow, so I figured they'll have snow there.
Obviously.
You know, might as well make a day
Ryan,
of it.
The point is so that you stay in the hotel if you can't drive.
My earphones aren't working very well. Can you go ahead and play the sounder?
Sure.
And now it's time to play Is Annie Okay With This?
Are you okay?
I don't know. I really don't.
Am I playing Annie? Do I get to decide today?
Yes.
That's horrifying.
Would Annie be okay?
Would Annie be okay with this?
That's how I wrote it initially.
Yes.
And then is that how you want me to read that?
I think so. I think so. I like putting words in her mouth.
All right. Flesh-eating parasite with sharp mouth hook has U.S. on alert for the first time since 1966.
Is the parasite visible with the human eye?
A flesh-eating parasite that was recently discovered in southern Mexico has officials in the United States concerned that the previously eradicated pest could make its way back into the country for the first time since the 60s. The parasite, known as the New World Screwworm, was found in a cow at an inspection checkpoint near the border of Guatemala.
When they find that stuff, just leave it in the cow. We'll take it out and start spraying it around. Like a t-shirt cannon.
But, Ryan, you have to think, if we eat that cow, then it gets into the human.
Don't
eat that
cow.
That's why we cook. That's why we cook meat.
Don't eat that cow.
These are larvae and maggots with sharp mouth hooks that latch onto open wounds or live tissue on the body. Officials are asking Southern Texans who hunt or spend time outdoors to keep an eye out.
Yeah, if they see them, shoot them.
Wait, shoot the cow?
That looks
or the
like
parasite?
One of those little lice with the teeth.
Splow!
Boom!
Would Annie be okay with the New World screwworm?
Yep. Where's the sounder?
I said yes as soon as you started talking about it, so my answer is clear.
So where's the sound? It's right here.
Oh, okay.
It
yeah, she'd
play,
be
though.
She'd be good with it.
Smooth sailing. Man attempts to hijack self-driving taxi. A man was taken into custody in downtown Los Angeles after allegedly attempting to drive away in a self-driving Waymo taxi. The incident occurred when the man entered the vehicle and moved into the driver's seat.
Wait a minute. If a car pulls up and there's nobody in it, do you automatically just instinctively get in the driver's seat?
No, he got in the passenger seat and then slid over.
Pulled a gun.
Like it wasn't
nobody.
Going fast enough. And he's like, I got to really get out of here, though.
Aims at the steering wheel.
I think it stopped to pick up passengers. He got in like he was supposed to and then moved over to try to steal it.
So it
to try to take over.
It picked up other passengers than him?
No, he was the passenger.
Oh, okay.
But then he tried to steal it.
What's confusing about this, Ryan?
What is confusing about this?
You know what would be amazing that I just realized might be a real nice side racket is if you had a car pull up with no driver, you get in it, and then you allow it to pick up other people on the way to your destination, and then sit in the driver's seat like you're taking care of them.
Just pretend and get tips.
Yeah, get tips on the way to the airport.
It pulls up to your spot. All right, guys.
Yeah. All right, take care. And then you get out with them, and their car drives away.
So I think these vehicles stop things like that, which is why this car stopped moving when the guy tried to steal it.
Stop, schmop.
Oh, it just stopped moving?
Yeah, but yeah, he got in it. He moved over. He sat there. He was attempting to steal it. It wouldn't go anywhere because you're not supposed to drive these things.
Car was like,
and the police were like, "Get out!" And
I can't
he was like,
that,
"No!"
Dave.
And they're like, "Get out!" And he was like, "No."
I apologize if you already said this part, but had he already committed a crime, or was that the crime?
That was the crime, but he was intoxicated.
So he was drunk and trying to steal a self-driving car.
Yes, and it wouldn't go anywhere for him.
Talk about the worst time to try to steal a car and drive it away.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Don't do it while you're drunk.
Are you okay with self-driving taxis? Or is Annie okay with them?
Annie, I know for a fact, is not okay with them. Yeah. We've had this discussion before. I am perfectly okay with them. I think they sound awesome because, as I've said before, it's a great way to do a random weekend vacation. If you're like, you know what? I'd like to spend this next 2-3 days in Missoula, Montana. I'm going to get off of work on Friday. I'm going to get in a self-driving car and just go to sleep. And I'll wake up and I'm on vacation in Montana tomorrow. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Is Annie not okay with them because she doesn't trust them or
yes.
what? Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if Brad's okay with him. I think
he's not. I actually like driving. Ryan's like, doesn't that sound awesome? No, I would actually enjoy the drive out to wherever.
But you'd
Montana.
Still have the option to drive.
Yeah.
No, you get arrested.
No, you're not drunk trying to steal the car.
This is about self-driving
this
taxis.
This is my car.
And this car stops when you get in the driver's seat, so it won't let you drive.
You could still have a car and drive it. You don't have to take that one.
Why would I pay extra for that feature if I just want to drive it?
That's my point, is that you don't have to.
Listen, Ryan, Brad is just an old-fashioned, hard-working American. He wants to be able to drive the routes that are going to take him to places that he's never seen before.
Okay.
That is who Brad is. Ancestors took when they were blazing the Oregon Trail.
He doesn't need no fancy technology.
Look, if you're chiming in on this online, I don't appreciate comments like, Ryan, that's called an airplane.
Or a train.
From Russell.
Yeah, I was thinking Amtrak.
Yes, but it's so much quicker to do it. I mean, the plane's going to fly faster.
So,
but you
got to
go through all the security and everything.
No security on Amtrak. That's a glaring.
Don't say that out loud. Lots of people can hear us.
Does the train go to Montana?
I don't know.
That's my point.
Does anything go to Montana?
That's my point. You can go anywhere. The train is going to take you to a fixed location. The plane, you got to go through 2 hours of prep to get on it.
Somewhere, Annie is canceling all of her time off for this year.
No, she's not listening and not paying attention on purpose.
Two men died while looking for Sasquatch. Two Oregon men were found dead in a Washington state forest after they failed to return from a trip to look for Sasquatch. The 59-year-old and 37-year-old appeared to have died from exposure, the Skamania County Sheriff's Office says. The weather and the men's lack of preparedness led the office to draw that conclusion. Would Annie be okay with those Bigfoot silhouettes?
The ones where it's like walking and it looks back like
yep,
it's caught.
Yep, you're driving down the road and you're like, whoa, what it?
Oh, it always does too. Before I answer on behalf of Annie, I will say that these guys, there is only one way to search for a Sasquatch. And that is the way that they did it.
Completely
intoxicated?
Unprepared.
Yeah, no preparation.
Coats. There's no socks.
But also, we are going to go until this costs us everything. They did it. They have achieved, really, I think, the Sasquatch dream. And so, in light of that, I will say Annie does approve of this.
Of the big
You're supposed to say, in light of this, Annie doesn't approve of it.
because I do, she
yes,
doesn't.
Yes, correct.
Yeah. So, she does approve of the silhouettes.
Woman consumes 49 grams of green cotton candy for Guinness World Record. Speed eater Leah Schutkever took home a new title when she consumed 49 grams of green cotton candy in 60 seconds. The competitive eater has also set records for consuming 19 chicken nuggets and 10 jelly donuts in 1 and 3 minutes, respectively.
I think we've done that.
Speed eating cotton candy seems like
that
not
seems
that big.
Easy.
Yeah, here's 49 grams.
How much
yeah.
is a regular tub of cotton candy? That's what I want to know. I'm trying to figure out how much really 49 grams is.
It's like 0.1 pound. It is not that much, but it's cotton candy, so I don't know weight versus.
I'll tell you what, if you do ball up cotton candy, like if you were to fill a tub with smashed potent cotton candy, that would be tough to eat. That stuff's not
potent.
Yeah, whatever it's
the
called.
Good stuff.
Concentrate.
not fluffy. But if it's all mashed up, that's not actually enjoyable or easy to eat at all.
So I'm seeing that the regular size tubs are 32 ounces. So she basically ate a tub and a half. I don't think that this
that's,
is that
that's
impressive.
Ounces, not grams.
This sounds like
right.
a weird
totally
competition. Like you can just
Google's
eat anything
me.
You want because she just ate a bunch of cotton
yeah,
candy and chicken nuggets.
That's how the Guinness World Record worked. I think these two things happened at different times. Her latest feat was the cotton candy.
Okay.
Previously, she ate some chicken nuggets
oh.
and some jelly donuts.
See, fast. I thought that was all one competition.
No.
And they're like, this is just like an eating. You just eat whatever. She's like, oh, yeah. Well, I'll just have like a couple sodas and some cotton candy and some nuggets.
I'll eat 19 nuggets real fast.
Can you give me a jelly roll also? Okay.
Is Annie okay with cotton candy?
No, I don't think so. It's universally beloved and so she would dislike it.
And because I had no other stories, this is how much chocolate you'd have to eat for it to kill you. The sweet treat is made from cocoa beans, which contain the mild stimulant theobromine, which in large amounts can be poisonous. So popular science crunched the numbers and determined that a 165-pound person could theoretically fatally overdose from eating 711 regular-sized Hershey's milk chocolate bars.
You would die from explosion before the theotermidon.
7,084 Hershey's chocolate kisses, or only 332 standard-sized Hershey's dark chocolate bars.
332?
Yep, that's all it takes to theoretically die because there are no reports of this ever happening.
There's no way for a person to eat that much chocolate. Like, even a huge, huge person could not eat that many chocolate bars in one
Well,
second.
Not with that attitude.
I don't think that that's... I think that that is a stupid exercise, and I think we should defund it with Doge.
Do you think Annie is okay with Willy Wonka?
Oh,
ooh, which version? Actually, we've talked about this recently.
Old and new.
I don't know if she loves the old one or not. She loves the new one with Timothy Chalamet.
Oh.
Wait, hold on. How many?
What about the middle one?
Yeah, what about the Johnny Depp one?
I think Johnny Depp, we all just sort of memory hole that.
See, that's the one that I grew up with, though.
Really?
Really? Not yes. the Gene Wilder?
I've seen the Gene Wilder one, but no, the Johnny Depp one was the one that came out right in kind of like the prime of when I was growing up.
I'll tell you what, Roald Dahl, who wrote those books, I went and read Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and then I read Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, the sequel. It is really weird. They go into a room. Like, this is, I think, after Charlie is the owner of the Wonka Factory. They go into a room in the basement that just has souls in it. Like, people have died, and he's got like, oh, I'm going to go get a soul, get this person back to life or something. Like, they go in this room. There's all these, like, different ghosts, and you're like, this is part of the Wonka Factory? This is really weird. But it's Roald Dahl. He writes really weird stuff.
Do you think that they ate 332 dark chocolate bars?
I think they probably came just shy.
And that's how they ended up down there.
No, I don't think they did.
You don't think so?
No.
That's all I have.
Thank you so much.
Ryan, is there a point that you want me to ask Trisha this question?
I would say now.
Okay. Well, Trisha, did you happen to hear Wiggins America's subject today?
I did. It was the most Wiggins America segment that Wiggins didn't do.
Well, Trisha, I'm a little bit concerned with, you know, there's vacation days, there's sick days. But, you know, I'm still wondering where these mental health days are. And, you know, I just think that I could use a day to rest and just kind of reset. And can I have tomorrow off?
No.
You're live. Oh, no? That was quick.
hard, fast. No, I think you should take some emergency. And you can be off from about 6:30 till about 10:30 a.m. tonight until tomorrow.
You can take Saturday off, too.
You know what? Take Sunday off as well.
Adrian, Jacques Ambrose, Molly Barretts, and Ali Sharma all say that mental health days are important.
They are.
Yeah, she's on the record.
Yeah.
She's saying it's
huge,
important.
She's not disagreeing.
Deal, but
she's
I will
saying
see
not
tomorrow.
Important enough.
You should take a mental health day on Monday and be like, I can't handle all the snow. It's a mentally problem.
I like that.
All right. We'll take a short break and be right back. Trisha's leaving, unfortunately, but we'll be back. See ya. Ryan Wiggins, Brad Range in for Annie Fry today. Well, we're just in like normal, but Annie's not here, so we're hosting for Annie Fry today. The YouTube live chat poll we're going to get to in a minute. Should Mike Johnson remain the Speaker of the House? Brad will pull up the results for that. We'll give you another 10 minutes or so to get your vote in before we give you the results and talk about it. Before we do, a story that may be, something to consider going into the new year. That if you've had to go back into the office, now government is going to deal with this real soon. They, for whatever reason, never had to go back to work after they were sent home for COVID. Why? I think because Democrats were in charge. Honestly, I think this is really about it. Because the minute, and here's the proof, the minute the Republicans took back the House, they got rid of all of the proxy voting and the non-in-person voting immediately.
Yeah.
It is because the Democrats were holding it, and then Republicans said, no, we're going back.
Job. We don't actually want to do it.
We don't have to show up.
We just want the job.
So if you have not been showing up for work and you're a government employee, I think your days may be numbered at least out of the office. They might be numbered in general as far as having a job because they're going to start consolidating those agencies in a wonderful, wonderful way. But speaking of Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, like Elon Musk, this Fortune article says, one in three bosses admit that they're pushing real-time office time, I guess like imperfect person office visits, because they're so upset about wasting money on those empty desks. One in three bosses, a third of all bosses say, yeah, the reason we're having people come back is just because we're paying rent.
Yeah, you don't want to pay rent for an empty building. That's wasteful.
Completely agree. But is it in the best interest of the company? Or are you just saying, well, we're paying for it, so we might as well
use
it?
No, I think it's in the best interest of the company because while there are some people out there that can be trusted to work from home, there are others that can't get the job done. And I don't know what the numbers are, but the sales for mouse jitterers, have you heard of these things?
No.
So it's a device you can buy online that shakes your mouse and makes it look like it's moving.
Yes.
And those went through the roof when they started working from home, which means that you aren't actually doing your job if you have one of those and you're just doing it so it looks like you're working. If you're actually working, you don't need that device.
I'm a big fan of hybrid work. Now, a lot of what we do you know, Monday being an exception, we don't know what Monday's going to look like with the snow.
Yeah.
We do have, because of COVID, we have the capability of broadcasting from home, but we prefer to be together in a room because it's just more dynamic. I mean, when the three of us slash four of us are in here, there's no lag. I mean, that's a big part of it, is even that half second lag, it makes a difference as far as timing goes. And so we like to be in the room together. But that's kind of why we say hybrid, or I say hybrid work is the best, because you do the work you need to do in the in person. And this goes for any job. Radio is different, of course, than any other job. But if you are an office worker and you can get away with doing 50% of your job from home, I say great. As long as you're getting it done, that's what matters. But having those check-ins in person with your coworkers, with your boss, with just the office atmosphere to be around the people that, because regardless of what you do, being around people who either just do the same thing as you or are on similar teams as you, there's an energy there that I think is beneficial. And there's an accountability there that's beneficial.
It's a sense of community. You feel like you're working together with somebody for a purpose, for a cause, rather than just another wheel in the cog.
Yeah, and everybody's job is different. So some jobs really are pretty autonomous. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are people who here at Odyssey, you know, they work a pretty good amount from outside of the office. And I'm a huge advocate of that, as long as you can get everything done. But I don't think that it's one or the other. I really like that we have the option now as a society, I'm just speaking broadly, to do some work from home, because we really in the past didn't, and that's shifted.
The ability to be able to take a day off because you've got a sick child or whatever. And
still work.
And still get stuff done, not have to get behind or something like that. I think that is a plus, that is a bonus, but I think that should be the fallback, not the default.
Yeah, and I'm for pushing it a little bit more as long as everything's getting done. Like, you really got to hit your benchmarks. You got to have all those, you know, those qualifications that you hit. And that's set by your manager more than anything. So as long as the manager kind of is on top of it and you can hit all those things, I'm all for it. I just think that that's it makes sense that bosses would be like, look, we're paying for the office. You got to use it. But I don't know that that's the best reason to do it.
Well, you've got to do one of two things. You've got to start using the office so that that's not wasteful, or you've got to eliminate the office.
Yeah, and that's what's going to happen, unfortunately. Like, within the next couple of years, it's probably already started to happen, where leases have been ending since 2020. People are realizing that either they don't need the office at all, or they need a lot less of it. And so there's a lot of negotiations. And this is what people predicted in the real estate world during 2020 and 21, is they said, uh-oh, commercial real estate is going to be problematic. We have just a couple minutes here before the top of the hour, so let's talk about this poll. We haven't really mentioned it much today. Should Mike Johnson remain the Speaker of the House? The reason this is a poll, if you're not paying attention, is that tomorrow they're going to have the vote for Speaker of the House. Mm-hmm. This is something they always do, so this isn't like a sudden vote or anything. This is when you have a new Congress coming in. They do the Speaker vote. Well, that's tomorrow, and the Republican majority is so narrow that I think they said they can lose one vote.
One vote.
If they lose two Republicans. Now, this is assuming all Democrats vote against him, which it looks like they
almost
will.
Although,
you know, there's been tricky things that have been happening. But in this case, it looks like all Democrats are going to vote against Johnson. So that means you have only one Republican who can vote against him and him still retain the speakership. Right now, they're reporting that there are at least two Republicans, and they're not the ones you'd think of, Thomas Massie maybe, but the Victoria Sparks, the Ukrainian Indiana representative, Republican, she seems like she's a no. At least that's what they're reporting. So if that's true, there's your two right there, and you're going to a second ballot already if that's the case. Mm-hmm. So and we're going to be covering this tomorrow. It's going to be happening, you know. The Kevin McCarthy thing was kind of a big deal, so I think we're all bracing for what is this going to look like. Maybe it's a big deal, too. We'll see. But the question is, should Mike Johnson remain Speaker of the House? What do you think, Brad?
I'm a yes. I think that a lot of the issues that we're having...
Are you a soft yes, or are you a emphatic yes?
I don't think I would go as far as to say emphatic, but I'm pretty hard, yeah. I look at what's going on with the House and what people are frustrated with, and it's not... Mike Johnson isn't the issue. It's not your speaker that is the issue. It's the makeup of your Congress. It's the narrow majorities. You know, the Masseys and the Chipperoys of the world want certain things, and I like a lot of the stuff that they want. But then whenever you give them what they want, then you've got to go to the, you know, the more moderate Republicans from Northern Illinois, the ones from, you know, closer to like Long Island and that place, you know, the New York, the Californias, the ones that aren't in as conservative areas and more purple districts that aren't as hardcore on some of these things. And you've got to win them over. So because you have such a narrow majority, you can't afford to lose either one. And that makes your speaker job A, very difficult. And B, you're not going to get what Chip Roy wants. You're not going to get everything of what he wants. But I admire him for standing on his principles. You're not going to get whatever Thomas Massie wants. My frustration is that it seems like some of these politicians are trying to eat the whole apple instead of just trying to get a bite out of the apple and get a little bit of what they want and then make a little progress. So, no, I think Mike Johnson is doing a good job. I think you just got to get him back in there. And you, as a Congress, have to work together and hash those things out. It's not his fault that stuff comes to the floor.
Ethan, you have any desire to weigh in on this topic?
Not really.
I figured I'd give you the opportunity.
No, I appreciate it. I don't have enough knowledge as to where Congress sits on this. I know that his name has been... This is not the first time that we've brought up Mike Johnson. I think that a lot of the CR stuff kind of brought us to this point. I will say this. Someone that, you know, has a limited knowledge, I would say, more so the general level of politics. It doesn't look good when you've consistently been going back and back to these things over, what, the past 6 to 8 months over your Speaker of the House. It does not look good, in my opinion, for the Republican side of things.
It's probably about a year now.
Has it been that long?
Since Kevin McCarthy, anyway, yeah. I don't know if that's what you're referring to.
Yes, but even since then, it feels like we've constantly gone back to this conversation a couple of different times, and I don't think that looks very secure for the Republican Party, personally.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, too. I know Kilmeade is like that. He says, look, this looks really bad. It looks like we're in disarray when this happens. I completely disagree.
Well, think about where Kilmeade is from, though, and what the type of people Kilmeade would be talking to. It's that those moderate purple Republicans.
I mean, a little bit. He's not that.
No.
But I don't have a problem with the chaos part. You know, this one's a little weird because they do have to certify the presidential election on mm-hmm. Monday. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's a little less time to be dealing with. We do need to deal with it. But I'm a very, very barely yes on this. I don't have any specific problems with Mike Johnson. I think any, like you said, any speaker has to cobble together a lot of different factions, and he's trying to do that. And I think he's actually a pretty good guy, just in general. But I am okay with Thomas Massie and whoever holding his feet to the fire and trying to get some accountability for some of the spending, because we can't just do a conservative version of a budget. We have to do something very different. And if that's what the argument is being made for right now for the speaker stuff, I'm all for it, because we got to see some bigger changes than just, we'll do a little bit more conservative budget. But that's the poll today. Should Mike Johnson remain Speaker of the House? Brad, do you have the results?
I don't. Ethan, are you there?
Ethan, you got the results?
I have the results. How dare you doubt me, Wiggins? 190.
I don't think your mic is on.
I got you.
Sure isn't, but it is now.
Okay.
What I was going to say is...
How dare you doubt me
as my microphone was off. 190 votes on today's YouTube live chat poll. Should Mike Johnson remain the Speaker of the House? 78%. Say yes. So are you surprised by the overwhelming majority of this one?
I am, but based on the comments that we have on our YouTube page here, most people were saying yes, so I guess not. It's close to 80% yes.
And 22% say no.
All right, well, thanks for being here. We will be here tomorrow, too. And then Annie for January 6th will be back on Monday, but we've got a great Friday planned for you. We're going to be talking a little weather, so prepare for that, just like we are. Sunday's going to be a big day. This is the Annie Fry Show. We'll see you tomorrow.